الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه والصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise, complete glory and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our designer, our cherisher and our protector. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, beloved messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, the one who came as a guide to illuminate our hearts and our minds, to show us the truth path, to show us how to live a life of complete sincerity and devotion, and the one who showed us the path back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and blessings be upon him, his noble family, and the noble companions, and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, my dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all abundantly on this blessed and noble day of Jumu'ah, and make this day a means for our forgiveness, pardon and salvation. Ameen. After a long year of lockdown and restrictions, now as things are easing, people are getting back into their routines. And normally we know and we see that in the month of June, July and August, this is the month generally considered and understood to be the months of marriage, the months of happiness, the months of joy, the months of people getting together. And now, just as lockdown has been eased, we can see a huge rush of people getting married again, because this is how they want to enjoy their lives and enjoy their future lives and complete their deen in some manner and form. So insha'Allahul Aziz, today we will touch upon the institution of marriage, the Islamic concept of marriage, and how you go about getting to that particular stage. By no means will this be a holistic khutbah, because this requires many, many sessions for us to discuss the Islamic concept of marriage, how to do the nikah, how to do the various other elements relating prior to, during and post nikah. Nevertheless, inshallah al-Aziz, we'll begin our journey today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran first and foremost reminds us of the most important base foundation for us all to understand who we are and where we need to go. Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. That, O mankind, this is an address unto all of humanity, to fear your Lord, the one who created you from one soul. So a man and a woman, they do not have two distinct souls. Their source, their essence, their beginning is exactly the same. مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَاحِدًا. This is a very important thing to understand. So you've been created from the same essence, from the same soul. But from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made its mate, i.e. made its females and males, and disperse them throughout the world. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's opening verse to for us to understand who we are as human beings, who we are as individuals, and how Life without the other means that we are incomplete. And this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said that when you marry, you actually complete half of your deen, and therefore you need to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your other half. So it's a very important aspect for us to understand, because it's one of the biggest decisions that we'll make in our lives. When we are toddlers and we become little children, little boys and girls, then we become little students and we become little teenagers and become little adults, and then we become more mature, and then we become people who are ready to marry. So these are all stages of insan. But what it reminds us is that we are only whole and complete when we come full circle, which is marry a spouse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us. So in the Arabic language, especially in the Quran, there are three things that are mentioned which talk about marriage and talk about the institution of marriage, which is family. So ahl in the Quran, inna min ahli, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and various other verses of the Quran. The ahl in the Arabic language means your immediate family. As we are all aware of Ahlul Bayt, we hear this all the time. But Ahl in the Arabic language, especially in the Quran, is relation to your immediate family members. So your wife, your spouse, your husband, and your children. This is your immediate family, because marriage makes you whole and makes you into a family. And there's also the word of Usra, which is your close family members, which include your parents, includes your siblings, and includes your close relatives and your kin. Again, we can see here how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just put everybody under the same umbrella. Everything is in stages, that you are from an usra, you are from a zurriyah, you become into an usra, and then you become an ahl. These are three particular stages. And then you have the zurriyah, which is the extended family, so the descendants that came before you and that will come after you. قَالَ وَمِنْ زُرِّيَّتِي Ibrahim alayhi salam. What about from those people, from my descendants, from my extended family, the past and the future generation? So if we look at this, first you are a single entity and a single individual. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has split that essence up to make you into males and females, to make you into spouses and partners. So you are from that zurriyah, that origins of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and the loins of Adam alayhi salam. And from that extended family, then you come into your usra, which is your close family, your parents and your siblings, etc. And then from that usra, you form your own family, which is the ahl, which is your spouse and your children. So this is part of the process and the stages of an individual's life. And the family is the most essential nucleus in human life. This is the most important element for society, because if you look from the very beginning of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately thereafter created Sayyidina Hawa, so that they could live together, they could dwell together, they could share their life and their memories together in Jannah. And even when they came onto earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them both here on earth, to inhabit earth again. So we can see in Jannah, they are there together as an ahl. And when they come to earth, they are there again as an ahl, as a family as well. And then they become an usra. And then from the usra, then you have the various descendants who come through Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So we see here that the importance of family in Jannah, we see the importance of family here on earth as well. And even the Islamic call that we pay heed to, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ زُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ زِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ, that, oh Allah, oh my Lord, I have left my children, my family here, in this barren, desolate valley, with no cultivation, nothing there whatsoever, but they are here to establish your zikr. لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ, they are there to establish the prayer, to call, and to bring closer to you. So even the establishment of modern day Makkah that we see here, the re-establishment and the building of the Kaaba, it came through the efforts of a family. So insan as an individual, you can't really achieve the same things that you can achieve as an ahl, that you can achieve as an usra, that you can achieve as a zurriyah, holistically, as a family, as a community. This is what something that you need to really, really understand. So the establishment of Makkah, of Jannah, and the dunya is all revolving around the family. And the family plays an absolutely essential role in ensuring peace within the individual, keeping you at peace and keeping you stable, keeping the family stable. That has a knock-on effect in keeping the community, the society, and the world stable as well. And the family structure from the glorious Quran is based upon tranquility, love, and mercy. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. To find and establish sukoon and tranquility and stability within your homes, within your family, to establish love and cordiality, and to establish mercy within your lives and within your homes. So if the nucleus is sound, and if the family structure and the institution is sound and solid, then we will have a good community, a good society, a good civilization. But if that nucleus is corrupted or affected in some way or form, then you can see its ramifications also in society as well. And one of the signs towards the day of Qiyamah, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, is that the splitting of the family and the breaking of the ties, and people will just be nafsi, I just want to live my own life, I want to live a single life, I want to live a bachelor life, who needs a wife, who needs a partner, who needs all of these things, everybody's just about themselves. Whereas if you look from the origins up until who we are and how we are formed, we've all come together via the Ahl, via the Usra, via the Zurriya. And this is a very important aspect for us to understand, and especially instill within our children as well, that it's part and parcel of your nature, of your fitrah, of your design, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, for you to find a spouse, for you to find a partner, for you to live with them in tranquility, in peace, in love and affection and mercy, and then for you to establish your own usra with your children and with your zuriya, and then continue the message of the deen of Islam. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he describes marriage, nikah, it is considered to be like an act of worship. And in an act of worship, you are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are sincere in your act towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards your devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in a marriage, you need to be sincere. You need to act righteously towards your partner, towards your spouse, towards your children, towards your family members, in order for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what marriage does, it protects you from all forms of fahsha and munkar and bi-sharmi and bi-hayai, and allows you to channel your desires, your human desires, in the correct manner, in the correct manner as has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is just a very, very brief and quick background and understanding who we are as individuals, how we came about, but then the importance of family, the nucleus of family on a micro scale and also on a macro scale as well. So we come to a question that was asked a few weeks ago, and I was unable to answer it until now, but here we are. So many the youngsters, you know, fellow youngsters who are young and have josh and khosh and hoon running through their veins, they want to get onto the scene of marriage, they want to go through this so-called thing of dating in the modern day. And this is something that we need to address and something that we need to touch upon. It is a very deep conversation and discourse to have, but nevertheless we will touch upon it very, very quickly on Jumu'ah. So Islam and dating, where does Islam stand? What is the stance? What is the hukum of dating in Islam? And people say, and this is a very common thing that they say, that we live in a society where modern day dating is the norm. Everybody does it. You know, everybody, it's a normal in society. But just because something is normal in society doesn't mean it's justified or halal permissible today. This very country, go back 50 years, and if a woman was seen with a man just in seclusion, just in private, just talking or anything else, then that woman would be considered to be spoiled, and then that person, they said, look, you can't marry that person, she was with that individual. This is how society used to be just 50 years ago. If you watch any programs or read any historical books, you'll see how they used to be, how they used to cover themselves, how they used to maintain their chastity and their honor and their dignity, their izzah, with so much care and concern, especially for their women. But now, everything is upside down. Dating is the norm. Chulo, and enjoy somebody today and enjoy somebody else tomorrow, and you're constantly going from one person to the other. So just because it's the norm for society today to be dating doesn't mean, first and foremost, for us as Muslims, that it is halal. I'll give you a simple example. It was the norm in the time of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to bury their daughters in the times of Jahiliyyah. That was the norm. It was the norm for women to walk, you know, bare-breasted, you know, with their chati uncovered. And it was norm for them to do lots and lots of things at that time. Does that mean the Prophet ﷺ followed the norm of society and he buried his daughters, or he allowed his daughters and his wives to do the same things? No. You don't look at the norms of society because they continue to fluctuate and change. You look at your parameters, you look at the sharia, you look at the boundaries set for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you follow the path of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. So just because it's the norm, this is a very important thing to understand, and it's accepted in society, doesn't mean it's accepted by our deen, by our religion, and it's not something that we should do as default. So some people will say and respond to that, well, arranged marriages are not feasible anymore. They don't really, really work. But that doesn't mean that arranged marriages is a no-go zone, or there's no other option apart from dating. So inshallah, we'll quickly go through what dating is in the modern day and just give you some statistics, because we are a nation now, we are a society of statistics. We love our statistics. Prove it to me, show it to me, all of these things. So those people think who dating really, really works, was beneficial for them. So let's just go through this very, very quickly. So modern day dating, this option is prohibited for a number of reasons. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam very clearly, emphatically mentioned that whenever a man is alone with a woman, and vice versa, whenever a woman is alone with a man, then the third person will be the devil with them. The devil will be with them as a third. And the purpose of a devil is to put waswas, put temptations, and put all of these whispers in their hearts and their mind for them to cross the boundaries and do those things that are not permissible for them to do. Do those things that they will not do in front of their mother or their father or their brother or their sister. So this is a very important thing for us to understand, that we never have that khalwa, we never have that private meeting, that seclusion with any woman who is not our mahram, who is not our sister, who is not our aunt, who is not our mother, etc. And if you look at the statistics, 68% of young girls who are raped, they knew their rapist either as their boyfriend, or either as just as one of their friends, or they had a casual acquaintance with them. 68%. Police officers are here, other people are here who work in social services, they'll tell you the statistics. This is the norm of society, that because they are dating, because they know each other, then 68% of them are raped because they knew them, or they had a relationship with them, they went out with them here and there. 60% of rapes of young women occur in their own homes, or in the home of a friend, or in somewhere where they know. This is where the majority of the rapes occur. Not in a dark alley, not the way that we have shown in movies and everywhere else, that this person is being raped in a park or anywhere else. No, within their homes, within the comfort of the places where they trust. So this is what happens, this is the inevitability and the end game of what happens when you end up dating somebody. And if it doesn't work, then they may end up raping you, or something else may happen as a result of that. Statistics are there. So one of the major reasons in Islam is to protect the honor of your daughters, of your mothers, of your sisters, protect the honor of your sons, of those individuals as well, protect society as a whole. And if you are dating, today you are dating somebody, tomorrow you date somebody else, and this ramification will completely corrupt society and destroy individuals, destroy those mothers-to-be, destroy those individuals. So this is one of the major consequences of just dating freely, willy-nilly here and there. This is exactly what will happen. And as dating becomes more and more widespread in society, what is the result of dating as well? Unwanted pregnancies as well, and STI, sexually transmitted diseases. This is what happens. Even though people say, oh, we'll use the pill, oh, we'll use a condom, and nobody will know, it's our private affair, we can do whatever we want, it doesn't harm anybody, because these are some of the things that our youngsters will say. But this is what happens in society when you get closer to an individual. It's a natural consequence of being close to another individual. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphatically in the Quran mentions, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say don't commit zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says don't even go anywhere near zina. Don't be with a woman alone. Don't be with a girl alone. Why? Because it will lead you and tempt you towards this particular act of committing zina, of committing fornication, and especially for those who are married, committing adultery as well. It is a shameful thing. It is an evil thing, and it is opening a road towards your destruction in your dunya and also in the hereafter. So just like you as a parent, as an individual, you wouldn't leave your child alone near a fire. Why? I don't want to be anywhere near the fire because it will harm them. It will hurt them. You wouldn't leave your child anywhere near a road because cars are passing by. So why is it that you allow your child, or why do you allow yourself to be close to a woman where you know these are the ramifications and potential things that will occur? So it's very, very important for us to understand all of the things that are destructive in modern day forms of dating, and why our Sharia has placed these parameters there to protect us, to protect your aql, to protect your body, to protect your iman, and to protect society as well, to protect the nucleus of civilization. Because if that is corrupt, then you will see rampant destruction going on everywhere, and you'll see that here in our society as well. And people say, oh well, I'm dating and then we'll have a successful marriage. Even then, if you look at the statistics, 30%, 50% of first marriages and 67% of second marriages and 74% of third marriages end up in divorce for those people who have been dating for many, many years. And according to the study by the National Bureau of Economic Research in America, couples who lived together before marrying, i.e. they dated as much as they wanted, nearly 80% of higher divorce rate than those who did not. So if you look at these statistics logically, if dating brings you closer to sexual abuse and manipulation, and we see the grooming, we see all these other things, if it takes you closer to STI, sexually transmitted diseases, and towards unwanted pregnancies, and it destroys you, your morale, your identity, who you are emotionally and physically, and does not give you a successful marriage, then why is it, do you think, logically it's fine? Because society does it, and it makes sense for us to go about and choose this option. It's prohibited by Islam for some of these reasons and many, many other reasons. This is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hukmah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So yes, whilst it may be the season of marriage, the season of everybody getting together, we have to be extremely careful in the way that we interact and we intermingle with other people of the opposite gender and of the opposite sex, and how we portray ourselves and how we carry ourselves in our deen, because these are the statistics, modern day statistics, but also these are the things that are telling us that we need to keep away because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. So if you can't do modern day forms of dating where you can meet anybody, sleep with anybody and do whatever you want, what is the next option? This is another question that people will ask. Well, the next option is probably one of the safest options, arranged marriages. But everybody will smile at that, especially the youngsters. Arranged marriages in this day and age, in this society, arranged marriages? Believe me, they do work and they still do work. Your parents will only want khair for you. Your deepest and closest friends will only want the best for you. They have no benefit or no harm coming out of that. So if your friends or if your family members do introduce you to an arranged marriage, you should look into that, but in the correct manner, because they are there as a medium in between. They are there looking at and going through all of those particular things that are beneficial for you. But even then, in arranged marriages, we shouldn't go blindly into arranged marriages as well. This is something also disliked by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, for he said, go and look at her, for it is more likely to engender love between the two of you. So even though your family member or your friend may find somebody and they think you are compatible, don't just say, jalotika, checklist, that's fine, I'll marry her, kabula. No, go whilst they have a mahram there, whilst your family members are there, and see if there is this spark, see if there is this chemistry, see if this compatibility, and then see if that love will increase between you, and then say, fine, you're happy for that arranged marriage to go ahead. So dating at the beginning, the modern day and forms of dating is a no-no. Arranged marriages is still a viable option today. And the third option that you have, which is a balance, which is Islamic courting and doing a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there is a person that you like at university, at your workplace, etc., etc., then first and foremost, you should approach their mahram. This is the correct Islamic way. That if you like somebody and you like the way that they are carrying themselves and they are practicing their religion, etc., and you want to get to know them better, you don't do that on a personal one-to-one scale. No, you don't find out their intimate secrets and all of the things, you go to their mahram in the correct manner and you make them aware that you are interested in that individual, and you contact their parents, you contact their brother, etc., and without being in seclusion or having any physical contact with that particular individual. This is the correct Islamic way. If you like somebody, then go about it in the correct manner. If you want to get to know them more, speak to their family members, speak to their parents, or get your parents involved, or get your close relatives involved so that they can find out more information to see whether you'll be compatible or not. The second thing that you need to do then is do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see whether this relationship would be potentially successful for you or not, whether it is beneficial for you or not. Involve your parents and the elders who can gather more information. But most importantly, remember that you have to do this in the correct way, because your niyyah needs to be pure. And by doing that in the correct manner, you're protecting yourself, you're protecting your iman, you're protecting your honor and your izzah, and vis-a-vis you're protecting your society, you're protecting your daughters and your sisters and your mothers-to-be, and you're remaining within the boundaries of Sharia, insha'Allahul Aziz. Yes, there's lots more to unpack in terms of what to look for in a partner, what is a good partner, all of those things. As I mentioned at the beginning, we don't have time for all of that just on a short time of Jum'ah, but I did want to answer the question of modern day forms of dating and the perils and the destructions of modern forms of dating, and how we need to be very, very careful where the Sharia is and what it dictates to us in terms of staying away from all these forms of modern day dating and having privacy and seclusion with individuals, but rather doing so in the correct manner, approaching those people that you do have an interest in the correct manner, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless you from the offset. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and also protect our children. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum.